We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Every time I hear that word in that song, I think of the fact that everybody would think that the word hallelujah is found throughout the scripture. It's not. It's found in one place. It's Revelation 19. You know what's happening in Revelation 19? Jesus is coming to reign as king. And creation, heaven, says hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, one day that's going to happen. And all creation's going to cry out hallelujah. Because he's going to come and he's going to reign as king. I've got two things I want to communicate before we get into the teaching part. The first is a request that we on staff have to you as the church. We need your picture. We need you to take your picture. Email it to the church, will@ninevachristian.org. You can email it to anybody, but Will's kind of coordinating it. We have a system that we have names and information on everybody, and when you have over 1,000 people, it's hard sometimes to put names and faces together. So please take your picture without a mask. I could just see somebody sending me a picture with a mask. And send it to the church at will@ninevachristian.org, and that just helps us put all the names and faces, and we start talking about something. I can say, well, here, this is who we're talking about, and it's not for outside distribution. It's just something inside that we need. So please take your picture, email it to the church. Second thing is, I want to let you know that several of us have decided we're going to go to Washington, D.C. and be a part of this Franklin Graham prayer march that's going to happen on the 26th of this month. And we've chartered a bus. It's a 1.8-mile prayer march, and we've chartered a bus to get to Washington, D.C. and back. We're going to leave early Friday morning, the 25th, and come back very late, probably midnight or after, on the 26th, and be a very rushed trip. But if you, we've got about 20 something seats still open for that. If you'd like to go, it's first come, first serve. It'll cost you about a little bit less than $200 a piece, depends upon how many people decide to go. And I'm just throwing that out. My wife and I are going, Scott Shepherd and his wife Heather are going. It's our discipleship minister, and Scott's actually heading everything up. And if you'd like to go, here's a chance for you to travel with us, and we'll walk. And we said a few weeks ago we're going to be on offense, and if we're going to be on offense, we're going to move out. We're going to go and pray in Washington, D.C. And if you'd like to be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer in the Welcome Center, and you can join us. Today we're going to begin by talking about a famous king. And next to Jesus, he's the most famous king. His name's David. King David had something. King David had something that I want to talk about today, something really important. In fact, what King David had, it separated him from everybody else. Something that drove him, something that was always up front, always first in his life. We all know that King David was not a perfect man. He had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah. And even this unperfect man, and yet God still anoints him as king because he had something. He had something. What was it that King David had? What was it that God, when he looked down upon the earth, saw in this man, David? What was that something? So today we're going to search the scriptures so that we might know God. You know that studying the scriptures is having an encounter with God. If you want to have an encounter with God, then have an encounter with this book, and you have encountered God. Today we have an encounter with God. We're going to find the something that David had. The king at the time, as we start this search, the king at the time was Saul. And King Saul didn't have this thing that David had. Before I tell you what Saul didn't have, let me tell you what he did have. King Saul had a listening problem. I know a lot of people that have a listening problem. Saul was a king, And I want you to understand, he was anointed by God himself. He wasn't a self-appointed king. He was anointed by God. But Saul was not a priest. And he was not allowed by God to carry out priestly duties. In that time, the priestly duties and the king duties were separate. That's one of the amazing things about the future kingdom of Christ, is he will be a prophet, a priest, and a king, all combined into one. But in this time, priests and kings can't do the same job. They're separate. God had given King Saul a spiritual advisor to be a priest under that time, a spiritual advisor who was actually a prophet and a priest. His name is Samuel. And what's interesting about Samuel, he was also the final judge. And when I say judge, people think of black robes and courts. Not that kind of a judge. Samuel was the final judge, which was a ruler. They were the rulers of Israel before the kings started. God used Samuel to communicate to King Saul. They had different and unique roles. Those roles were established by God, not by man. This was the specific instruction. I'm going to read the specific instruction of God to King Saul, given through his spiritual advisor named Samuel. Really important. 1 Samuel 10:8. This is God through Samuel to King Saul. "Go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I, Samuel, will join you," King Saul, "I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. You must wait. You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions." Now, I'm going to ask you, is that complicated? You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions. That's not hard to understand if you're listening. Understand this. This is God speaking. This is not Samuel speaking. And when God speaks, it's always important to listen. Samuel is just the messenger in this case. But what happens next reveals the fall of King Saul and the fall of many people today. They have a listening problem that leads to an obedience problem. And the reason I say that is that you can hear something without hearing something. When you hear it and understand it and intend to do it, you have listened. But if it just goes in one ear and out the other, you listen, but you didn't hear. Saul has a listening problem that leads to an obedience problem. The obedience almost always follows the problem of listening. And listen, this is not a story about Old Testament problems. This is a story that has relevance today. That if you do not listen to the Word of God and understand it to be the Word of God, you have a problem that leads eventually to obedience because you did not hear it in the proper power and authority as God's Word. There's a great battle that's taken place with Saul and his army among the Philistines. And in that battle, now he's already gotten the instructions. What's the instruction? "You must wait for 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions." So now the battle has taken place. Samuel's gone. 1 Samuel 13:7. "Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed in Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear." Now, this is the motivator. They're at war. War's a scary time. And Saul's men are afraid. They're trembling with fear. They're afraid they're going to lose this battle with the Philistines. Verse 8, "King Saul waited there 7 days. Well, he's listening, right? Almost. "He waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul sacrificed the burnt offerings himself. In that very moment that King Saul could have put his faith and trust in the sovereignty of God, he put it in himself instead. In his crisis of belief moment, in the moment when he had an opportunity to put all of his heart, all of his trust in God, he instead puts his trust in himself. Saul took matters into his own hands and performed the priestly duty that was not his. He refused to listen to the instruction of God, and because he did not listen, he did not obey. Now, some of you think, well, it's a minor issue. It's a minor issue. If Samuel had been there on time, then it would. It's a minor issue. I mean, let's face it, his soldiers were getting afraid. There's desertion in the ranks. It's a minor issue. I'm going to tell you, when God speaks, it is never a minor issue. Never. Oh, if Saul had just waited a little longer. Do you understand? What I'm about to read to you today, just it's mind-blowing how God takes this event and makes a decision. Oh, if King Saul had just waited a little longer. Oh, if he'd have listened. Oh, if he'd have just listened and waited. Go to verse 10. Just as Saul was finishing the burnt offerings. So I want you to know, I want you to read that and know that it's not like Samuel was really, really, really late, because now he's just now finished taking matters into his own hands and doing the burnt offerings that he wasn't supposed to do. Just as Saul finished the burnt offerings, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel said, "What is this that you have done?" Saul replied, "I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would." Like, it's your fault. It's your fault I didn't listen. "You didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle." So I said, "The Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help." So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings myself before you came. Can you see it? I'm asking you. I'm going to push pause. Can you see it? Some of you might think King Saul's response and his actions were reasonable. Can you see it? You see, here's one of the dangers. Some of you, even sitting in the room right now with all the context of the Holy Scripture, you say that was a reasonable response from a reasonable man. His troops are scattering. They're scared to death. He's going to go by himself and do the priestly duty. Samuel's not here. He's late. Here, I'll take it. Is that reasonable? Do you have a listening problem? Can you see it? Saul had taken things into his own hand, and thus he put his trust in himself rather than the very clear instruction of God. When God speaks, listen carefully. When God speaks, you must listen and you must obey him. Many people try to rationalize their disobedience to God's word today, just like Saul tried to rationalize his disobedience to God's word then. There's no difference. He's the same God. You can't rationalize your way out of it and say, "But Lord, you don't understand." He does understand. Now, you're going to find out what the thing is that David had that Saul didn't have. This is so, so big. And I hope you can see it and have it for yourself today. That's my goal. And before I read it, I'm going to ask, is anybody here listening today? Can you hear me? 1 Samuel 13:13. "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed, "you have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. How foolish. But now you're, had you kept it?" I tell you, this is a deciding moment in the kingdom of Israel. Had you kept it, had you listened and had you obeyed, had you kept the word of the Lord, had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought after a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Because you would not listen and because you would not obey, I will seek out a man who will do both. Because you, Saul, would not listen to me and understand that when I speak, it is absolute truth and power and authority. And because you would not listen and because you would not obey, I'm going to find somebody who will do both. They will listen to me and they will obey me. Now, here's the big question. How does a man do both? What is it inside of a person? What does King David have that Saul didn't have? What is it that would create a lifestyle that would listen and obey? What is it? Because Saul didn't have it, but David has it. What is it? The Lord sought out a man, listen, after his own heart. Do you know what that means? Now, I've thought about this a lot. Do you know what that means? The Lord sought out somebody after his own heart. Some of you would say that the Lord was looking for someone with a heart like his, and that would be correct, but only partially. The Lord was going to seek out someone that would pursue after, chase after the heart of God as the main purpose of his life. Not a sideline, not I'll get to you when the priest comes over and convicts me, but no, the pursuit of David's life would become to be after, seeking after, chasing after, pursuing after the heart of God. He would listen and he would obey. Not reluctantly, no, but with great joy. It would become the primary purpose of his life to pursue after, to chase after. You see, if Saul had been pursuing and chasing the heart of God, he would have been listening to the word of God, but he's not doing either. In Psalms 103, King David wrote this psalm. So I want you to, as we get into this David heart, a man after God's own heart, this is part of what describes David's heart. Psalms 103, verse 1. Let all that I am, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. You know what the difference between Saul and David was, is? Saul had a divided heart and David had an undivided heart. And I want you to understand, this half-hearted approach to God doesn't work. And the difference between the two was Saul had a divided heart. And David had an undivided heart. The Lord sought after what? A man after his own heart. What do you think that means? Will a half heart do? Do you know what a half-hearted person looks like? How they respond, how they act? Let me ask you a practical application question. Have you ever worked alongside somebody in a company, in a business, in your job who's half-hearted about that job? Well, what's the difference? How do they act? They're always late. They're always unhappy. They're always not very pleasant to be around. You know what they do? They do the minimum. They just do the minimum. They're not into that job. They're half-hearted. They're not into it with all of their heart. They're into it with a little bit to just get enough to get by so they don't fire me today. That's a half-hearted person. Let's make it more family-oriented. You ever have a child that's half-hearted toward the assignments you give them? You go clean your room up. Okay. Their heart's not in it. So what do? They kick all the stuff underneath the bed and hide it and then come out and say, I did it. No, you didn't. They're half-hearted. Now, you know, we laugh about it with a child. And it is funny, perhaps, as a child, but it's not funny when you deal with God. Now, listen, I can't get it off my mind that God looks at Saul and said, had you kept my command, the kingdom would have been yours forever. What? Had you listened to me and obeyed me, the kingdom would have been yours forever. But because you refuse to listen and you refuse to obey, I'm going to find somebody who is after my own heart, because you're not. I'm going to tell you, everything in the Old Testament reveals Jesus. Everything reveals Jesus. This is revealing Jesus right now. It's absolutely revealing Jesus right now. The Lord was going to seek after somebody who would pursue him. This half-hearted thing describes a lot of church people today. Maybe you came here today hoping I wouldn't say something like that, but let me tell you the truth. Before this COVID-19 thing began, I told you on multiple occasions that the average church attendance in America, not necessarily Nineveh, in America, there's a poll that the average church attendance in America is 50%. The average church person comes to church 2 times a month instead of 4. Is that half-hearted? Now, I got to tell you, we also take those statistics here at Nineveh, and Nineveh's a little bit better than half, but not a whole lot better than half. What does it tell you? What's it tell you? The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah receives a message from the Lord, and what's interesting is the timing of the message. The timing of the message is Judah has been conquered by Babylon. The temple's been burnt down. The king has been taken off as a slave. The people are carried off as a slave. Everything's lost. And the few people who are alive are living in a foreign land that speaks a foreign language. And God raises up a prophet named Jeremiah. And he says, I want you to go carry a message to those exiles up in Babylon. And here's the message, Jeremiah 29:13. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. One of the other translations says, you will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. But what does that tell you? If you seek me with half of your heart, you may never find me. But when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. I'm looking for somebody who will look for me with all of their heart. He made David a king because David was wholeheartedly in, not half-heartedly in. Today I'll ask all of you a question. You don't have to answer out loud, but I'm begging you, please, would you answer the question honestly to yourself? And the reason I do that, in light of this statement from God to Saul, if you had only listened and obeyed me, the kingdom would have been yours forever. But you didn't listen. And because you didn't listen, you didn't obey. And the kingdom's lost. And I'm going to turn and find somebody who's heart is after me, pursuing after me, I'm going to give it to him. So here's the question. Are you after God's heart today? Are you pursuing after God's heart? Are you sure? Is it possible that you're here today and you've got a listening problem that has led you to an obedience problem? Are you all in? I think about that kid that you said, go clean your room up, and when they walk away from you, they say, whatever. Whatever. That's the modern lingo for I'm not listening. And their churches are filled with people that if you'd be honest, your response to God, your response to God's word today is whatever. Whatever. I'll go Sunday morning. I wish you didn't talk so long. Whatever. Is that you? I was listening to a sermon not too long ago by Dr. David Jeremiah, and he said something that just floored me. Just floored me. Here's what he said. We all have about as much of God as we really want. Let that sink in for a moment, because I think he nailed it. We all, including Terry Cooper, we all have about as much of God as we really want. Now, I want you to compare that to that Jeremiah scripture. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. With all of your heart. When that becomes your approach to me, you'll find me. But when your approach to me is this half-hearted, whatever, you'll never find me. Because you don't know who I am. Is that you? Would you be honest? How much of God do you want? I'm asking you, how much of God do you want? So hold all that in your mind, and now we're going to have our King Saul moment, because the Lord has given us a word. And I'm asking you, are you listening? Now, his name is Jesus. And Jesus says this in Matthew 22:37. Jesus says, you must. Has anybody got a listening problem here today? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Does that sound half-hearted to you? Does that sound like whatever is okay? He said you must. And I place that alongside this Old Testament scene in which God comes to King Saul and says, if you had only listened to me, the kingdom would have been yours forever. But you didn't listen. Do you have a listening problem today? Is it possible you're in the room today and you've got a listening problem that has led you to a place in life where you've got an obedience problem? Saul, you must wait for Samuel to arrive. He didn't wait. He didn't trust God's word. Do you trust God's word? Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God. You must. This is not optional equipment. You must trust the Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you have a listening problem? They ultimately always lead to an obedience problem. Now, with all that background, now I can tell you the real purpose of today's message. It took all of that to get to this. The hunger to know God. The hunger to know God and to experience God with all of your heart is the reality of your faith. I'm going to say it again. Your right now hunger to know God is the reality, the measurement of your faith or not. Do you understand that? Anybody listening? Don't tell me you have faith. Don't pretend like you have faith if you have a half-hearted response to knowing God. You're just lying to yourself and believing it. If you say, I have faith, but your approach to God is half-hearted, you're a faker. You're a faker. And what's frightening is that you're a faker and you don't know you're a faker. You're a pretender. Let me explain by asking all of you a question. Are you satisfied right now with your relationship with God? Are you satisfied with your knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God? To know God is to know His Word. Are you satisfied? You got enough? Yeah, preacher, I got enough. One of the biggest criticisms I get as a preacher? I get a lot. You know one of the biggest ones? You talk too long. But I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for this truth. I have a hard time sometimes turning it off. I get it. Some preacher says, okay, I'm hungry and thirsty too, but you got to give it to me all at one time. Can't you shorten the meals a little? Are you satisfied with your knowledge and the relationship with God? Or would you prefer come in here and you get about 20 minutes, get an appetizer so you can go home and get back to the rest of your life? Be honest. Are you satisfied with your relationship with God? We've all got about all of God we want. I got all I want, preacher. Don't give me any more. Can you say you've had enough and you're now satisfied? Are you hungry and thirsty for more? Are you pursuing more and more and more? Because I'm going to tell you, in that story of King Saul, and by the way, it's repeated in the New Testament, the Lord sought after a man after his own heart. The Lord was looking for somebody who was looking for him. Hungry for, thirsty for, actively pursuing the heart of God. Is that you? I'm going to pause for a moment and let you think. Hungry for, thirsty for, actively pursuing a deep personal relationship with God. Is that you? A bunch of you would say, no, it's not me. Something's wrong. This next scripture is the verse that I found handwritten. I didn't know Chad was going to say what he said today about Brian Perry. Must be Brian Perry Day. I apologize, Jennifer. I'm not trying to make this emotional. What I'm about to read to you was the scripture I found handwritten on a post-it note on Brian's computer when I finally had enough guts to open the door and go in his office after he died. Here's what he had handwritten on the note on his keyboard. It was 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He had written that down. I don't know how many days before he died. When the eyes of the Lord ranged throughout the whole earth, they saw Brian Perry. Would he see you? He comes to strengthen those whose hearts are undivided. He comes to help those whose hearts are undivided, those who are looking for him. He comes to strengthen. He comes to help. Now, what does that really mean? Are you purposefully pursuing God with an undivided heart? Please be honest with yourself. There are some people here today that are in the pursuit of God. I know some of you personally, and I know that I would describe your life that you are personally in the pursuit of God to know him and to walk in the light of his truth. It is your heart's desire. It's not a sideline for you. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you are pursuing a deep relationship with him through the word and through prayer. These people are not satisfied with their current relationship with God. They want more. They want more of their heart committed to God. But there are also people here today. Listen, I know and you know. There are people here today, if you were honest, you are totally satisfied and you're really not looking for anything more than you have right now regarding God. And you might be slightly or more than slightly offended by me even bringing it up. You just want, you know what you want? You just want him to save you on the last day, and that's all you're interested in. Just save me on the last day. David, Jeremiah, we all have about as much of God as we really want. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. the pursuit of God. I'm convinced through the scripture, through the Holy Spirit, that the pursuit of God is the reality of your faith. It is the measurement of whether or not your faith is real and legitimate, or whether or not you just have this somehow half-hearted approach to God, which is not going to end well. Jesus has this Sermon on the Mount. We call it the Beatitudes, and we call it the Beatitudes. One reason is because this ought to be your attitude. And the Beatitudes is Matthew 5:6. And here's what Jesus says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Where are you going to get it? You get it from God's word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they're the people that's going to be satisfied. You mean it's satisfying to be hungry? Yes, it's satisfying to be hungry, because you know there's so much more there that I don't know. There's so much more here that I don't know yet. There's so much of him that I don't understand yet, but I'm in the pursuit of knowing and understanding him. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, because they're going to be satisfied. Are you hungry? Do you want more? Are you thirsty? Do you want more? Are you satisfied? Have you had all of God that you want? Have you had all of God that you need? How you answer that question reveals the condition of your heart. How you answer that question honestly decides whether or not you have a half-hearted approach to God or a wholehearted approach to God. I can tell you this. In the time of King Saul and in the time of today, the Lord sought after a man, a woman, after his own heart. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. Jesus says what? Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock, ask. They're all pursuing. I'm after you. I've tasted, but I want more. I've took a bite. I took a drink, but I want more. It's not enough. There's so much more of you I don't know yet. The Lord's still doing it today. What? He's seeking after people after his own heart. I want to give you an example. I want to give you a specific example of a half-hearted approach to God from a time in Jesus' ministry. And it's the same example I used last week when I talked about this idolatry and open hands. So in this point, it's kind of a continuation of the same theme. But what I'm telling you today is I'm about to read to you what a half-hearted approach to God looks like in practical application. Some of you aren't going to like it, but I'm asking you to listen. It's Matthew 19. I labeled this guy the rich, sad guy with a listening problem. The rich, sad guy with a listening problem. Verse 16, someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, that's a good question. If you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Listen and obey. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. I have obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Don't read over that part. Some of y'all still thinking about selling all your stuff. You'll have treasure in heaven. I know people read that and they can't get over the first part, so you don't read the second part. You'll have treasure in heaven. And after you've adjusted your life from idolatry to chasing after my heart, then come follow me. Because then you'll be wanting to follow me. You won't be following me because you have to. You're following me because you want to. It's because it's now the desire of your heart, because you're not divided anymore. You're all in. But when the young man heard this, he went away very sad, for he had many possessions. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you think that's about money? Or idolatry? This man had a half-hearted approach to Jesus. And the reason I say that is this. Do you think this guy's got a listening problem? You ever meet anybody that hears but they don't understand? They hear but they don't hear. It like goes in one ear and out the other. What did Jesus just offer this guy? Eternal life and treasure in heaven. No, this stuff I got down here is more important than that. No, you're not listening. You got a listening problem that's led you to an obedience problem. You're not listening. I offered you eternal life and treasure in heaven. And he walks away saying, he has a half of his heart in God and half of his heart in the world. One foot's in heaven and one foot's on earth. And he's torn in the middle. He don't know which one to go to. This is what half-hearted approach to God looks like in real life. And it's in this room today. Do you know that? Because here comes the biggest statement. If you serve, if you're in the room today and you're waffling between these two positions, and this guy kind of represents you, though you don't want to admit it, I'm gonna say something very clearly. If you serve God half-heartedly, who do you think the other half belongs to? Is anybody listening? It's idolatry. It's idolatry. You got an idol. You've sold yourself to a foreign god, a fake. And what do you think idolatry is anyway? A half-hearted approach to God. There shall be no other gods before me. Do you have a listening problem? Ephesians 5:5. Here's what God's word says. Do you have a listening problem? You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will ever enter the kingdom of Christ and of God. Did you catch that? Do you have a listening problem? But you can be sure, immoral, impure, greedy, you're not going to heaven. For a greedy person, what's the issue with greed? This guy walks away very sad because he's greedy. But what's the issue with greed? For a greedy person is an idolater. It's not about the money, it's about the fact that your heart is divided between God and stuff. A greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be foolish. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. Do you have a listening problem? Is this hard to understand? This is not hard to understand. It's hard to believe, but it's not hard to understand. Don't be fooled. Listen, by those who try to excuse these sins. What? About materialism. Church, anybody listening? About materialism. About your stuff. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall upon all who disobey him. Let me tell you what Jesus is really saying to this man who walks away sad. If you don't love me more than you love that other stuff, you will never be my disciple. And he's saying it today in this room. If you don't love me more than you love all that other stuff, you will never be my disciple. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Do you remember the problem with King Saul? He had a listening problem that led to an obedience problem. Had you listened and obeyed, the kingdom would have been yours forever. Some of you have a listening problem that is leading to an obedience problem. I told you that not only is this story about Saul and David and a man after his own heart, not only is it in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 13. This is how the New Testament describes it. But God removed Saul, replaced him with David, a man whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And because he is a man after, pursuing me, he will do everything I want him to do. The obedience, he will do everything I want him to do, comes from the listening and learning and growing. Do you have a listening problem today that has led you to a place in life where you now have an obedience problem? Can you imagine anyone? Let me put it in perspective. Can you imagine anyone sitting around the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was doing his Sermon on the Mount teaching? By the way, it's the largest single teaching recorded in the Scriptures, Sermon on the Mount. Can you imagine anybody getting up from that and walking off so they could get the first seat at the restaurant? Can you imagine? Why? Because his words would have been so powerful. How could you pull yourself away from him? You just want to stay and stay and stay, stay, right? Now listen, today I know I'm not Jesus, but I am reading his message to you. Are you listening? Do you have a listening problem? I was in prayer recently. I shared this with some close friends on the mission trip. I was in prayer recently, and my heart began speaking something. A prayer came out of me. I had no forethought. In fact, I wrote it down because I was afraid I'd forget it later. And just out of me, this came out of me. Lord, have me that I might have you. Lord, know me that I might know you. Lord, receive me that I might receive you. I've started praying that prayer every day now. And the point of that is, Lord, have all of me. I don't want you to take half of me. I want you to take all of me. Because when you have all of me, I will have all of you that I can handle. And when you receive all of me, I will receive all of you that I can handle. And I know in the flesh I can just handle so much. Is that your prayer? You see, this is not a sideline for me. This is not a job. This is not a sideline or a job for any believer. This is the pursuit of our lives. If knowing and growing in the knowledge and fellowship with Christ is not the most important thing in your life, then tell me what your faith is based upon. If the pursuit of God is not the most important thing in your life today, it is speaking to you about your heart. It is telling you who you are. This is not a game. I keep hearing God say to Saul, if you had only listened, if you had only obeyed me, the kingdom was yours forever. But you wouldn't listen. So now I'm going to look for one who's after me, who's searching for me. I'm going to give it to him. While I challenge all of you to commit your lives to the pursuit of God, to walk in the light of his truth, I must also tell you that in the flesh you will never fully accomplish it. You and I will never accomplish fullness, not while we're in this skin. Not going to happen. Yes, we should pursue, chase after God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we will not fully reach that goal while we live in this human body. This is not about getting stressed out about some legalistic approach to knowing God. That's not what I'm doing today. I suppose the Apostle Paul was the most influential man who's ever lived on the earth, apart from Jesus Christ. Those who might have a listening problem, I'm begging you right now to listen to this teaching from the Apostle Paul. And I want you to compare the difference between the Apostle Paul, who knew Christ, who pursued Christ with every fiber of his being, and that rich young ruler who walked away sad because idols had taken away his heart. Look at the contrast between these two guys. Here's the Apostle Paul. Philippians 3:7. I once thought these things were valuable, that stuff that the rich man wouldn't let go of. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of what? Knowing Christ. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ. You see the pursuit of his life? This is not half-hearted. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. What? I want to know him so well that I'm willing to suffer with him. Sharing in his death so that one way or the other I'll experience the resurrection of the dead. That was written by the man that saw and experienced the heart of Jesus on that Damascus road. This is the same guy that was taken up into the third heaven and he saw things that God wouldn't even let him talk about. And yet this guy with all those experiences also said this. Next verse. Verse 12, I don't mean that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on. I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing. I've not achieved it. I've not arrived. I don't have all of him that I want. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. I can tell you this guy was chasing God with all his heart. So I'm going to wrap up. Here we go. Are you satisfied or do you want more? I stand here some Sundays, and I'm going to be really transparent right now. Some Sundays I preach two services, and I walk out the door. I go home, and I said, is anybody listening? I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I just think nobody's listening. Everybody's distracted. Everybody's thinking about what you're going to do after this. And then I have these moments. One of them happened this past Wednesday night. There were 605 people on this campus on a Wednesday night during a pandemic doing an experiencing God study. 300 of them were in this room. The rest were scattered across the campus. And I say, some of them are listening. There's a lot of them listening. Have you gotten all of God that you want? I got a word for you. If you're in the room today and you've gotten all of God that you want, I'm telling you today, be afraid. Because that is just identified that you are that picture. Be afraid. If your present pursuit of God is half-hearted, I'm asking you, who has the other half? We are called to be like David in the pursuit of God, a people after his own heart. And while in the flesh, we just keep pursuing and chasing after him through his word and walking in the light of his truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. But one day, I got to tell you, one day, and it might be really soon, our flesh is going to be changed. Oh, and we will become like him. And we're going to know him in ways that we could have never known him in this flesh. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:48. Earthly people are like the earthly man. That guy's Adam. Heavenly people are like the heavenly man. That man's Jesus. And just as we are now like the earthly man Adam, we will someday be like the heavenly man Jesus. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit that which will last forever. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen in a moment. It's going to happen in a flash. It's going to happen in the blink of an eye, when that which is flesh is going to be turned to that which is supernatural. And we'll become like him, and we'll be with him. And I'm going to tell you, in the meantime, the Lord sought after a man after his own heart. Not half-hearted, but whole. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. Knock. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask, it'll be given to you. All of those are in the pursuit of God. And yes, he's still doing it today. In fact, the Apostle Paul reveals God's purpose like this. He's preaching to a bunch of pagans, half-hearted people in Athens, Greece, Acts 17:27. He says his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. Is it possible that you're in the room today and you have a listening problem that has led you to a lifelong obedience problem? I can tell you today, half-hearted doesn't work, because it means that someone else, another power, has the other half of your life. Jesus writes a letter, tells John to write a letter to the seven churches in Revelation. And all seven churches end with the exact same thing. You know what it is? I got goosebumps and I haven't even said it yet. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand what the Spirit says to the churches. So today, he who has ears to hear, may you hear and understand what the Spirit today has said to his church. I close with something from a dear friend, Doug Cox. He doesn't know I'm doing this. He'll be mad later, but that'll be all right. Doug is a dear friend and brother of mine. Doug sent me a message this past Monday, and I haven't been able to get it off my head ever since he sent it to me. Here's what Doug wrote to me. When I read Exodus, it occurs to me that the Israelites were not sold out on the God-promised land, but were always looking back to Egypt. I think they just wanted a better Egypt. That hit me deep, because here we are right now in the wilderness, and I believe the promised land's really close. And I'm seeing people in the church, in the wilderness, in a pandemic, instead of using this time to focus your time on the promised land, you're trying to figure out how you can get a better Egypt. And your heart's not in it. And right now, every sign in this scripture of the soon return of Christ is being displayed in flashing lights. And the churches are filled with people who are looking forward to when things go back to normal so we can have an improved Egypt. But I got to tell you, everybody in Egypt dies. And everybody in Egypt's a slave. There's only one group that gets set free, and there's only one group that crosses the Jordan into the promised land. And those have never had divided hearts. Do you want to go back to Egypt? Are you looking forward when they tell everything's all clear and we can throw off the mask and go back the way things were? I'll ask Chad, come on out. You see, the issue is not about the pandemic. The issue is not about masks, and it's not about a sickness. The issue is about death. And everybody in Egypt dies. And there was one who came, and he's seeking after people. And I keep hearing him over and over, and he looks at Saul and he says, Saul, if you'd only listen, if you'd only listened, if you'd only obeyed my commands, the kingdom would have been yours forever. But you refuse to listen. You refuse to obey me. So I'm looking for somebody who will do both. They'll listen and they obey. And what makes a person listen and obey? Their heart is fully devoted to God. It's not half-hearted. That produces a life that follows God. Because all of your heart belongs to God. So here we are. Labor Day weekend. In a pandemic. The world's gone crazy. Everything about the world's gone crazy. Are you looking back to Egypt or are you looking forward to the promised land? Who's got your heart? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will do your work. Samuel couldn't make Saul listen. I can't make anybody here listen. That's your job. But you did call Samuel and you did call me and you still call preachers to speak the word of truth. And some will and some won't. And I'm asking you today in Jesus' name, may this church have ears to hear. And may they understand what the Spirit is saying to the church and respond with all of their hearts in Jesus' name and amen. The invitation's open. Let's stand.